since she'd told him about the baby they lost. He thought about it all the time. His heart clenched. If his and Mia's baby had been a girl, she'd be almost 11 years old now. Would she have had dark eyes and hair like Mia? He would have loved that. He'd have brought her out here, taken her riding, maybe bought her a little horse of her own, taught her to ride a bike and taken her fishing in the little stream that ran through the woods. He didn't even know if there were fish in there, but that wouldn't have mattered. Or maybe they'd have had a boy, he thought with another pang. He might have had a son. Everywhere he looked, there were kids running or women with babies. Men at work talking kids or pregnant wives caught his attention. Even watching TV was a constant reminder. He imagined those were all painful reminders for Mia as well. Like the world around her refused to let her forget what she'd lost. Their baby, then again with Savannah. He wished he'd gotten a chance to meet her, hold her, and see Mia holding her. Hannah looked at her watch. Give me a minute. I need to get Hazel ready for my next appointment. She took a nylon halter from the hook beside her and walked out the back of the barn. He started to follow until he heard McKinney exit the office behind him.
She wants us to be friends,
McKinney said, coming to stand beside him.
Friends is pushing it. That's what I said, but that's what she wants, and I want her to be happy.
Nick gave him a sideways glance.
Like I don't? Trust me, I'm no more happy about it than you. As long as you know if you hurt her, I'll kill you. As long as you know you'd have to kill me to get me to let her go.
While he did have a growing respect for the man, Nick wasn't going to go out of his way to let him know that. Better to keep him on his toes.
We're going out for a drink later. Who's we? Me, Luke, Zach if he can make it, and you. That doesn't sound like an invitation,
Stephen said, spearing him with a look.
You're about to marry my sister,
Nick said, looking right back.
It's not. I guess I could do that. Hannah's doing a girl thing, some special after-hours champagne dress try-on party. A shopping party when you already know what you're buying?
Stephen shrugged in shared male bafflement.
Aw, look at you two talking, Hannah said, coming back with a small gray horse. Makes my heart swell.
Nick would have sworn McKinney took a deep inhale of breath, like just seeing his fiancé filled him with the air he needed. He could tolerate the man for that alone. That's how it was with Mia. At the thought of her, he breathed through the tightness in his chest.
I have to go.
Stephen kissed his sister deeply right in front of him. If he was trying to get under his skin, it worked.
I put your drink in the fridge. The food's on your desk.
Hannah tipped her face up to him for another kiss.
You're too good to me.
Never.
On that, at least they agreed, Nick thought.
Meet goes at 7,
Nick said. Stephen nodded, then with a smirk, passed him on his way out.
Later, detective.
Hannah watched Stephen go, then turned and narrowed her eyes.
Do you have to do that?
Do what?
Puff yourself up every time you see him.
I don't puff up.
If you stuck your chest out any farther, you'd grow antlers and start bumping like moose.
You're my baby sister. What do you expect me to do? And why am I getting in trouble? He just kissed you right in front of me.
I know. He did. We do other stuff, too, she whispered.
He pressed his fingers to his eyes to block out any images.
Don't!
Don't be mean to him, she shot back, then lifted a finger before he could speak. Miko's?
He grinned.
Just being friendly. McKinney can take care of himself. It's my job to let him know I'm watching.
She rolled her eyes,
went into the tack room and came back with a bucket of tools. Brush, hoof pick, other stuff he had no idea about. She went to work with the brush first. Mia was out earlier.
Really? I was planning on going by before I went back to Maryland.
Planning to and fighting the knot in his gut, because if he was honest with himself, and really he might as well be, he was terrified. There was so much between them, both trying to figure out all the twists and turns. Too much between them to jump halfway. She was right to go slow. What they'd had, what they were trying to get back, was no small thing. You didn't date or dance around it, not when you'd had what they'd once had, a once-in-a-lifetime love, if there was such a thing. For him, there was. He loved her. Every cell of his body belonged to her. And the thought of her saying she didn't love him, didn't want him, it was almost more than he could take. Another reason he was giving her time and space. Because he was afraid. She brought me some old pictures she thought I might want, Hannah said, lifting the horse's back hoof. She said the two of you had talked. He rubbed Hazel between the ears and she lowered her head in ecstasy.
Yeah, we have.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean?
Nothing. He let her get away with the nothing, lost in his own thoughts for a moment, looking at Hannah, here in her element. He'd had plenty of time to think over the past months.
You know, Mia wanted to send you to a place like this. She thought you'd be better off. A recovery place, outdoors, with horses and...
He laughed, not feeling at all funny.
That's exactly what ended up helping.
Yes.
So she was right,
he said, fighting more guilt.
You could have gone sooner, could have healed sooner, but I couldn't let you go.
Hannah set Hazel's hoof down gently and looked at him. Do you really think there was one right answer? One right moment to do the right thing? You never gave up on me. You were always there. She came around to stand in front of him, wrapped her arms around his waist, and looked up, smiling. You brought me back, Nick. And now look where I am.
Yeah.
He returned her hug and smile.
Now look where you are.
Okay. No more sappy. She released him and stepped back to Hazel. Go finish catching your bad guys so you can come back and bug me more often. And be good tonight.
Yes, ma'am.
Chapter 22. The dress shop was white on white. Who knew there were so many varying shades of that colorless color? Carpet, walls, furniture, dresses. Even the cookies artfully arranged on a white dish that sat on the whitewashed coffee table in front of the white leather couch were white. But it was beautiful, serene. Sorry, Mia said, rushing over to hug Hannah where she sat.
Traffic.
You're not late. We've just been having a cookie. Or four. Lizzie, Sarah, and Abby sat on the couch, looking like pretty flowers rising up from the snowy room. They'd scheduled a special after-hours fitting so Beth could come. Dr. Beth McKinney was Stephen's oldest brother's wife, but in the end she'd had an emergency at the hospital and hadn't been able to make it. The only other color in the room came in the form of the two women who worked there, one in bright pink, the other in sunny yellow. So they could find each other in the white cloud of a store, she imagined. They wasted no time and whisked Hannah into the dressing room, returning 5 minutes later. Okay, ladies, behold your beautiful bride. Mia lifted her eyes and nearly gasped at the image in front of her. It was breathtaking. Hannah was breathtaking. She'd seen her in so many ways over the past 24 years, but this was just beyond. Hannah!
She could only shake her head. Lizzie, Abby, and Sarah were doing the same. Hannah wiped her eyes.
Stop, you guys. You're going to make me drip.
The sides of her hair were lightly pulled back and secured with a small pearl headpiece. The rest tumbled over her shoulders and down her arms in shiny golden waves. She swiped a finger under each eye, beaming at herself in front of the mirror like she couldn't believe it. After all she'd been through and overcome, Mia felt swamped with love and pride and awe.
Turn around. Slowly. Let us gawk.
Hannah turned, and they oohed and awed. Mia could honestly say there'd never been a more beautiful bride.
I hope Matt's ready to catch Stephen because he may not survive this, Abby said, turning the tears to laughter.
The flower girl dresses are here, too, the woman in bright yellow said.
There would be 5 flower girls. Hannah refused to leave anyone out.
And your dresses?
Hannah said to them, sniffing again.
We'll try them on after you, Abby said.
Wait, there's a different veil I wanted to try.
I'll get it.
And the woman in pink was off. The one in yellow brought out the little girl dresses, and they fussed over those.
How are your brothers holding up?
Sarah asked when Hannah returned. Hannah stood still while the shop owner attached the new veil.
Luke is quiet and cool as usual. I'm not sure if he's glaring when I mention Stephen or if it's just his permanent expression.
Zach's biggest dilemma is choosing who to ask, and I've threatened him with great bodily harm if he brings more than one. The last thing I need is a catfight on the dance floor.
And Dallas, we're not sure Dallas will be able to come.
I'm sorry, Abby said.
It's okay. I worry he's doing something dangerous, more dangerous than normal, but it's okay. I know he'd be here if there was any way.
And Nick?
Lizzie raised her brows, waiting.
Should we even ask?
Well, Stephen is still alive, so that's a good sign.
Mia thought she did an exceptional job of faking a soft laugh, not letting anyone see that her heart still thumped painfully against her chest when she thought of him. If things had been different, she might have had her day in white. She would have gladly given herself to Nick. Why had she wanted to wait? What had seemed so important at the time? Her work and his, finding the perfect time for a honeymoon. It seemed so unimportant now. But if they'd married, the outcome might not have been the same. No. If they'd been married, she never would have left. But they were practically married. Did that mean she shouldn't have left? Would they have been married and continued to live as they'd been living? With her on the outside, trying desperately to make Nick love her again. She wouldn't have survived that. Not looking into Nick's eyes every day and seeing him look back at her like she was a stranger. Happy day, she reminded herself. Hannah's day. Just 3 weeks away from the day. She stood to adjust the new veil. This one hung wider, covering more of Hannah's hair. They were just getting into the pros and cons of each when Abby froze where she stood at the flower girl dresses, her face twisted in pain.
Abby?
Abby sucked in a breath.
I'm okay.
She sucked in air, her hands holding her belly, which was already big because of the twins, but not big enough. She wasn't far enough. Mia eased Abby to the carpet, not missing the spot of blood seeping through her pale pink pants. The shop owner was already calling 911.
Call Matt!
Abby's teeth were clenched, her face a grimace of pain and fear. Lizzie already had her phone out. Abby's lips were pulled thin and strained, but her eyes were filling with tears.
Just breathe, Abby. Nice and easy.
Abby's hand was clammy, her grip strong. The ambulance wailed in the background for what seemed like forever. Just when Mia thought it was almost there, it sounded far away again. "Breathe," she said. "You're going to be okay."
"I can't lose the babies."
"You're not." Mia squeezed Abby's hand. Hannah was pale and wide-eyed. All the white serenity of a wedding dress shop was gone in an instant. "Shit."
"Oh, God."
Sarah repeated the phrase in shock, or prayer, or both.
"It's okay. Hold on to my hand."
Mia checked Abby's pulse. Lizzie had Matt on the phone. She could hear his deep voice and Lizzie losing her cool.
"I don't know. I don't know."
She was crying now.
"The ambulance is here. They're here. What hospital?"
"St. Charles," the female EMT answered, kneeling at Abby's side. Lizzie relayed this info to Matt, and Mia caught Lizzie's eyes.
"Tell him to hurry."
Matt burst into the ER waiting area like an animal. Wild-eyed and dangerous, he demanded to speak to somebody, everybody. Luckily, the oldest McKinney brother, Tony, intercepted him, saving a young nurse from the wrath of a man gripped by fear. Matt was taken back and things settled. Mia wondered what it felt like to be loved like that. No, she didn't have to wonder. She knew. If she quieted her mind, slipped back in time, she remembered, because Nick had loved her like that. Other family arrived quickly, and the waiting room filled. An hour passed with no news. So much family, she thought. Glad for Hannah's widening circle of love. If she and Nick couldn't handle each other, it might affect her relationship with Hannah. But she wouldn't do anything to jeopardize Hannah's relationship with her brother. Wouldn't do anything that would make Hannah's life harder. Another pocket of commotion went up across the room. She turned to see Stephen enter, with Nick right behind him. Her heart jumped. Hannah jumped from her seat and went straight into Stephen's consoling arms, but her eyes were locked with Nick's. After 10 years, a couple of months shouldn't have felt like forever. A shiver streaked down her spine at the sight of him striding toward her. Confident, commanding. She fought the urge to run to him. He stopped in front of her, spearing her with those eyes, heating her with his powerful, protective stance. She stood on shaky legs.
"Hi."
"Hey. I was with Stephen when Hannah called. Stephen needed a ride,"
he added as Hannah and Stephen joined them. Hannah hugged her brother, then went back to Stephen's arms.
"Wait. Why did you need a ride?"
"I'll tell you about it later."
Stephen pressed a kiss to the top of her head. Nick gave a short laugh.
"He'll tell you he was a dipshit and parked illegally and got his tire locked."
Before Stephen could fire back, Matt came into the waiting room, and a hush fell over the 25+.
"They've given her something to stop the contractions and she's resting,"
he said, fighting for control with each word. He pressed his lips together.
"It's way too early."
She heard the word kids and parents, and at the mention of his other children, Matt's face broke. That was enough to break everyone. Was he thinking his other children might never see their mother again? But then he shored himself up, took all the quick hugs and promised prayers, and went back to his wife. Stephen and Hannah walked over to join his brothers, and Nick stepped away to answer a call. Mia looked around, unsure what to do. She wasn't family. Abby was her friend and she was worried, but it didn't seem like her place. And here was Nick, standing close enough to make it hard to breathe. So strange they were seeing each other in a hospital again. She walked over to Hannah, waiting for a break in the conversation.
"Hey, do you need anything? Is there anything I can do?"
"No, thank you."
Hannah hugged her, held on tight.
"Thank God you were there."
She wasn't sure she'd helped.
I think I'm going to go.
Okay.
Hannah pulled back.
Wait, what about your car?
She'd driven them all in Sarah's car. It had been the closest.
I'll call a cab.
No, don't do that. One of us can drive you back.
Absolutely not. I'll be fine.
I'll drive you,
Nick said. She turned and met his eyes. He was so beautiful, so strong and steadfast. She'd missed him to the point of pain over the past months.
Okay.
They didn't speak the entire way through the hospital halls, the elevator, more halls. Buddy took her hand. When they got outside and the cold air hit her face, she took her first deep breath in over an hour. When they stopped at the passenger side, Nick opened his arms and she walked right into them. Not crying, not hot with lust or crazy need, just breathing and being grateful for the way her cheek rested so perfectly right on his chest, the way the top of her head fit under his chin. She squeezed her eyes shut and he wrapped her up like she'd always wanted, and she let him, sank right into him. She could stay here and stop time, but time didn't stop, and eventually he'd let go and she'd have to wonder if he'd always be there. She started to pull back.
I'm okay.
I'm not.
His wide palm cradled the back of her head.
Just give me a second.
She gave him a second and a few for herself, too. She closed her eyes again and let herself be comforted by the steady beat of Nick's heart under her cheek. They stood there together, had a moment to think about what they'd lost, lost before they'd ever really had it. When he finally released her, their eyes met. He stared at her so long she thought he would kiss her. She shouldn't want him to so badly. He looked at her a minute longer, brushed the back of his hand down her cheek, then opened the door and made sure she was in and buckled before closing it. They rode in silence until they were out of the parking lot and the traffic thinned. The car was full of him, his scent, his size. Her heart was so full of him it ached. She'd thought she remembered, but she hadn't, not all the way. How Nick filled her up and smoothed her out. The mere idea that they could have that kind of love again shook her. But did she fill him up? Could he really be happy? Would he let her in? And if he did, could she take a chance that she'd be locked out again? Christmas lights looped along storefronts. Wreaths hung at the top of lampposts. They passed a tree lot set up with signs, ready for the first batch of trees that would come well before Thanksgiving. She thought of all the Christmas trees they'd decorated over the years, and the nights spent lying under the tree together, looking up at the lights. Remember how long it always took to get Hannah to sleep on Christmas Eve?
Yeah.
He laughed softly, and it filled the space with warmth.
She was so excited and so determined to see Santa. So were you. Excited, I mean. I think you knew about Santa. I still remember how your eyes shined as bright as the Christmas lights.
A teasing smile tugged at his lips. It also tugged deep inside her. Hannah asked me to be her maid of honor, she said. He nodded.
She told me she was going to. It's coming up soon.
Yeah. Hannah mentioned you hadn't killed the groom, and she thought that was very generous of you.
God, I'm not that bad.
She glanced over, smiled at his almost pouty expression.
Okay, I can be. I'm trying not to be.
Which reminds me, why were you out with Stephen tonight?
Just having a guy talk, you know.
Putting the fear of God into the man?
Me? Why would you think that? Just having a friendly drink. Luke and Zach were there, too.
Hmm. She didn't quite believe him, but she let it go. They passed more lights and he told her about his work, the case, and how much longer he expected it would take to wrap it up.
It was nice talking to him like this. Even if her stomach was fluttering just from being near him like it had at 17. Maybe he was right about it being the same, at least some parts. "I've been thinking about getting a dog," she said after a quiet moment.
"Really? I'd like a dog. Not in town enough, though. What kind?"
"I don't know. It doesn't really matter. My secretary's sister works with a rescue group. If that doesn't work out, I'll go to the animal shelter."
"Lots of good dogs at the shelter."
"Yeah."
"Hannah's been making noise about me getting a dog."
"She worries about you. Maybe as much as you worry about her." She knew he didn't know what to do with a comment like that, so he said nothing, and they rode another few minutes in silence. He looked over when they stopped at a light.
"Was it bad for you, being there with Abby?" "Stupid question."
He shook his head and stared straight ahead.
"Of course it was bad."
Without looking at her, he reached over and took her hand, twined his fingers through hers.
"She was lucky you were there."
"I don't know how much help I was," she said, as her pulse kicked up with the simple contact. His touch set her on fire at the same time it made her feel safe. She stared at their joined hands and thought, "Dear God, I'm in love with his hands."
"I'm sure you were a huge help."
He looked back at the street in front of him.
"You were a great doctor."
"Thanks."
"Do you miss it?"
"Not really." She looked out her window. "Maybe sometimes. I could have used the distraction after we..."
Whatever they'd done, broke up, ended, imploded.
"I really could have used it this past year." She half laughed, though there was absolutely no humor in it. With their fingers still joined, she leaned away from him and rested her head against the glass. "The emergencies, the decisions, so consuming it's almost impossible to think of anything outside of what you're doing. I love what I do now. I still feel like I make a difference, but it doesn't consume the mind quite like the ER. There's not the opportunity to work 24/7 if that's what you need."
"Is it what you need?"
She stared out the window. "Sometimes." He tugged her back over and brought their joined hands to his lips. The warmth spread through her.
"What can I do to help you?"
"I don't know." That was the truth.
"I can try to get you some information if you want."
"I'm not even sure I want it. I'm not sure it will help. I don't know what I'd do with it." She sighed and rolled her forehead against the cool glass. "I don't know what to do or what I feel." She'd spent the past weeks trying to get a handle on herself. She couldn't be afraid Nick wasn't moving forward when she wasn't either. They reached the lot where she'd parked her car and he pulled up beside it. They sat there for a minute, neither speaking. There were words and there were silences. They'd had both, good and bad. This was one of the good ones. She got out and he came around, effectively capturing her between his body and her car. Downtown was quiet. The shops were all closed for the night. Only a hip restaurant was still open, and the faint sound of live music floated out every time the door opened. She stared at the ground, at the toes of Nick's boots, which were incredibly sexy with his khakis and dress shirt. Nick was sexy in anything, always. He was a beautiful man, but sexy, she thought, had more to do with the way a man carried himself, the vibe he gave off. Nick vibrated with it. He always had. She looked up to meet his eyes. They were lethal and staring hard into her own.
"Do you blame me? For the baby? Our baby?"
"What? No." She shook her head. "Nick." She cupped his lightly stubbled cheeks in her hands. "I don't. I'm sad. I was sad, but
No.
I wasn't there for you. If you think that would happen again, if that's what you're afraid of, I wasn't the man you needed then.
Stop, Nick. Don't.
She held his face like he so often did hers, making him see her.
Don't. We have to stop looking back.
He covered her hands with his and closed his eyes for a moment.
You asked me if there had been something else before Hannah was taken.
He paused and looked at her so long her heart sank. There had been something else. When he smoothed one hand down her hair so gently, she almost cried out, almost told him not to tell her.
I had the ring.
What?
I had the ring. I bought it that very day.
Oh, my God, she whispered, trying to absorb the meaning of his words.
Yeah. Does that answer your question?
You were going to ask me to marry you, and I was going to tell you I was pregnant. She closed her eyes, locked her knees because she felt them want to give. I don't know if that makes it better or worse. She fell against his chest, once again feeling the harsh winds of fate that had battered them. We were so close, weren't we? So, so close. She rested there against him, neither of them in a hurry to let go. It shook me when everything I thought we had disappeared. We were what I believed in more than anything. In all the years, the distance, the obstacles, we were the only real certainty. Then it was over with and gone as if it had never been. With his arms still tight around her, she looked up to meet his eyes, needing him to understand. It still shakes me that something so enormous as our love could be erased so simply.
Was it really so simple?
No. She dropped her gaze to his chest. Not for me.
Not for me either. It wasn't at all simple for me. Look at me. I loved you, Mia. There was nothing else, no one else. Even after Hannah, I loved you. I just couldn't get to you.
He took her face in his hands with a desperation.
I ruined us. I know I did. You tried to love me and I pushed you away. But please, tell me there's a chance. Tell me I haven't lost you. Not again.
Nick.
No, listen. I've lived a lot of years, too many without you, because I couldn't reach out. I couldn't say what needed to be said. Like, I'm sorry, and I was wrong, and I love you. All those things that were so hard to say, they don't seem so hard now.
You've already apologized. You don't have to say it again.
Maybe not, but I think I will. I'll also say this, and it's not easy to say. Forgiving myself for letting someone I love be hurt that way, that may be the hardest thing I've ever done. But if it means having you back, getting us back, I'll have to do it. I'll find a way to do it.
She stared at him, her heart hammering as he said the words she'd dreamed of hearing for so long.
Don't say no. I know it seems like I went on without you, without a thought, but I didn't.
He laid a hand over his heart, his eyes pleading.
I love you, Mia. You're the only woman I've ever loved. I'll keep showing you until you feel it, until you know it.
He kissed her forehead.
We'll do this slowly, as slow as you need, but I won't accept never. You were right before. I did let you go. I won't watch you walk away again. I can't.
This was a new side of Nick, more raw, more revealing. She squeezed her eyes shut against his pain, her pain.
Look at me, Mia.
He waited until her eyes met his.
You still love me. I know you do. I feel it.
Her heart trembled with fear or love, or both.
Tell me. Give me that much.
The truth rolled through her, and because it was true, she couldn't keep it from him.
I still love you.
The breath he let out, the relief in his eyes, told her more than anything. Slowly, he dipped his head, put his lips to hers. It was a soft, slow kiss, deep enough to touch her heart. His fingers slid through her hair, his tongue circled hers, telling her, reminding her. She could no more hold herself back from Nick than she could keep from loving him, and that was dangerous. But being with him like this, she didn't want safe. She let herself go, fell deeper until he lifted his head. Her eyes fluttered open to find his looking down at her softly. He pulled his fingers from her hair, trailed one finger down her cheek.
I'll follow you home.
It took her a second to respond. Her head still swam with his words and the kiss that had followed.
You don't need to.
I know. I want to. Just to make sure you get home okay. I won't even get out of the car.
Just like you used to.
They shared a smile, remembering all the times he'd followed her back to the dorm with the same promise, then snuck in behind her. She drove with Nick following, thinking of a painting she'd always loved in Nick's parents' home. It was the sea and sky, but what was special was the way the artist captured the essence of where the two met, magical and inevitable. She and Nick had always met and melded together. She'd thought she'd been the only one to suffer the loss, that she'd been the only one that tried to save them. That wasn't exactly fair. She'd been devastated by what happened to Hannah, but Nick, the strongest man she knew, had been broken. Now it felt like the Nick she'd fallen in love with was back. Back and wanting her. She wondered if they could meet now. If she could risk reaching over the edge for him, give him the power to take that piece of her again, another piece of her. But what good were the pieces of her heart if she wasn't with Nick? He pulled into the driveway behind her. If he asked to come in, could she say no? They'd come together the first time in a blast of heat and need with the past hot on their tails. Then she'd given into the comfort he could provide, loving him, maybe pretending, maybe dreaming of what might be. If they went to bed for a third time, in a quiet moment of decision, it would be more and deeper for both of them. When or if she made love to Nick Walker again, she wanted to know that it wouldn't be the last time. She wanted to be sure it would be the first of many, that it was forever. Without opening his door, he put his window down and waved as she pulled into the garage. It took her a second, but she finally pressed the automatic opener to lower the door behind her. As the metal came down between them, she wondered how much more it could possibly hurt to be with Nick than it hurt to stay away from him.
Chapter 23.
A bottle of champagne opened with a pop, and glasses tied with gauzy white bows were passed around the bridal room. There were cheers and toasts and nervous giggles from the bride. Five little girls in navy velvet dresses that hung almost to their ankles danced and spun like winter fairies with their shiny black shoes and white flowers in their hair. Hannah sat on a backless stool, her dress billowing around her so it didn't get bunched. Mia laid a white towel over Hannah's lap and held out a plate of finger sandwiches, cheese, and fruit. If you're going to be drinking that, you need to eat. You need to eat anyway. Hannah took a triangle of bread covered with cream cheese mixture and grinned up at her.
I'm so happy, Mia. I didn't even know it was possible to be this happy.
Mia took in Hannah's flushed face, her dancing eyes.
Really? I couldn't tell.
She touched her cheek softly. Eat that, and maybe one more, then we'll redo the lips.
Lizzie McKinney stepped into the bridal room from her checking and spying on the guys.
Look what I got!
She waved a 3/4 full bottle of Crown Royal over her head.
I stole it from the boys. I don't trust them.
Are they being nice to Stephen?
He's still alive.
I'm kidding, he's fine. They were just toasting when I came in. She turned to Abby.
Matt looks almost as nervous as Stephen and wants to know how you're feeling and if you're sitting down.
I'm starting to feel like a damn carrier pigeon. Can't you text the man?
I am texting him. I'll send him a picture.
Abby hadn't had contractions since the incident at the bridal shop, and now, at nearly 8 months, she was more than ready to meet her babies. Mia watched her take a selfie, then one of just her enormous stomach, and she quickly looked away. Her mind and heart had been so consumed with Savannah, she hadn't thought about being pregnant in a very long time. Now Nick was back in her life, or trying to be, wanting to be. A solid knock at the door sent the women into peals of laughter.
Ah, busted!
I'll get it.
Mia cracked the door to the bridal room, blocking the view behind her in case it was the groom trying to get a peek at his bride. Not the groom, but the biggest brother. A smile bloomed on her face. There was no stopping it. Nick looked incredibly handsome in his black tux, his beautiful, serious face. She closed the door behind her.
If you're here to kidnap the bride, I'll have to say no.
One side of his mouth curled up.
You think you could stop me?
I'm stronger than I look.
Really? I might have to test that.
Now she got the full smile, and it made her knees weak.
Is it time?
She checked her watch. I thought we had a few more minutes.
We do.
Nick stared down at Mia, completely forgetting what he was doing. He had needed to see her, needed her. Now his mind felt fuzzy and... God, she was so beautiful she stole his breath. Her hair was up and back, making her eyes look even bigger. The midnight blue lay against her light skin. All the bridesmaids wore the same fabric but different styles. Mia wore a strapless type, with soft, gauzy fabric that wrapped around her breasts, leaving her bare shoulders begging for his lips. It fit her snug at the waist before falling dramatically to the floor like dark water.
Nick? You okay?
You guys weren't doing shots, were you?
What? No. Okay, maybe one. A toast. But everyone's good. McKinney's pacing. So obviously nervous that Hannah will change her mind. It's funny to the point of pathetic. I had to tell Zach to lay off.
That's sweet. Stephen's pacing, not Zach. And you taking up for him. He glanced down then up.
Now I know why they call it giving away. It feels like that.
You're being very brave. She teased him but laid a gentle hand on his cheek. Not really. He'd needed to see her. She lowered her hand before he could cover it with his own.
McKinney's taking all my fun. I can hardly act domineering and scary when he's checking his watch and pacing like a damn tiger we're holding caged from his mate.
Mia smiled again, her eyes sparkling like black pearls. Love for her rolled through him and over him almost violently. Damn, he wanted to fall at her feet, beg her to say she still felt the same. Not now, but soon.
How's everything going in there?
Fine. All excited smiles and giggles. I got her to eat.
Good, that's good.
He laughed nervously. The day, the wedding, Mia, all of it had him twisted up.
Did Hannah say anything about Dallas?
Not really. She told me he couldn't be here, but I don't think she was that surprised. I don't think it's dampening her day. She's just too happy.
Okay, that's good.
He continued to stare, his eyes roaming over her exquisite face,
thinking about doing something crazy, like hauling her in for a kiss when the door cracked open.
Lizzie McKinney stuck her head out.
Hey, what's going on out here? Are my idiot brothers being idiots?
No, everything's under control,
Nick said.
Okay. This is girl time, Mia. Get back in here.
Lizzie closed the door on a burst of raucous laughter.
Nick raised an eyebrow.
Maybe we should be more worried about what's going on in your room.
She smiled softly.
I should probably get back in there.
Yeah.
A beat of silence passed, and neither of them moved. He searched her face. He was pretty sure she loved him. He'd felt it, seen it in her eyes. However long it had been, he knew her eyes. He dreamed of them. But did she trust him? His job had taken longer than he thought. Then it had been full throttle toward the wedding. They needed their time.
I want to talk to you.
We will, later.
Okay.
He reached for her hand, held it loosely in his, then turned it over slowly, just needing to touch her.
You know, if I'm playing the part of father of the bride, you fit the role of mother. You were like a mother to Hannah for a lot of years. Like a sister, but also like a mother. I'm not sure I ever thanked you enough for that.
Her dark eyes glistened with tears.
Shit, Mia, I didn't mean to.
You didn't. And you don't have to thank me. With her hands on his shoulders, she rose up, pressed a soft kiss to his cheek. We did good.
Yes, we did.
He could finally say that and mean it with no self-recriminations. She looked at her watch. Now it really is almost time.
Yeah, I should get back to the man side.
He waited until she'd closed the door before he walked away. Very soon, he wouldn't be walking away anymore. Zack hugged Hannah one more time, as Luke had, then, with a smile and a kiss on the cheek, left to take his place in the church. Now Nick stood with Hannah off to the side of the church's narthex. It was almost time.
You look so much like Mom.
Don't make me cry.
I don't mean to.
Her hair hung in long, loose curls, and he touched one gently like he'd done so many times since she was born. Still soft. Even on this day, Hannah wouldn't have stiff, sprayed hair. That wasn't his sister's style. And she did have style and grace. The only other woman he'd ever thought that about was Mia.
I'm glad you're here, Nick. I'm glad you're walking me down the aisle. Every girl should be so lucky to have a brother like you.
His nose burned. Now he was in danger of waterworks.
I'm so damn proud of you. I know Mom and Dad are too.
I know. I feel them here with us, don't you?
They wouldn't miss it.
Nick?
What, baby?
He adjusted her veil. Not really adjusted, just touched, because what did he know about veils?
I need you to do something for me.
Anything.
She stared at him so long he thought maybe she'd changed her mind, and he started racing through his planned escape routes.
I need you to be happy, she said. Please be happy.
I am happy for you. Shit, Hannah.
No, not for me. For yourself. You've given me everything, done everything. I couldn't have wished for a better man to raise me.
She held the sides of her dress out, some silk organza or something, a smile splitting her face in two.
Look at me. I'm getting married. I'm in love.
She was. He could see it. She glowed brilliantly with it.
I have the horses, my students, my brothers, a pack of sisters, and a man I love who loves me back. If I was any happier, I would explode.
She wound her arms around his neck.
Be happy, she whispered against his ear. It's time.
He held her tightly, absorbing her, her happiness, and her words, and at the same time telling himself he wasn't hugging her goodbye. When they pulled back, he took her hands, and the years flashed in front of him. He saw her at 2 and 5 and 10.
I love you.
I know.
If he ever does anything, anything.
She rolled her eyes at the same warning he'd given 100 times, and it bumped them both away from the threat of sentimental tears. The music started, and from where they stood around the corner, he caught sight of the last bridesmaid walking through the open doors. He led Hannah past the holy water font, and they waited just out of view for the change in music. 3 mini McKinneys, all in tuxes, strode before them. The 2 taller ones flanked the smallest boy on either side.
If you love her, Hannah whispered, don't let her get away.
He barely had time to react before the wedding march began. They walked slowly, Hannah's arm through his. The church was filled with family and friends, the majority of whom were the McKinneys, but almost all of Hannah's riding students were there. Stephen stood waiting, looking sufficiently awed as he should be, gut punched, his eyes red and watery, his lips fighting a quivering smile. Matt stood directly beside him, with a row of brothers lined up after that. Then Nick's eyes found Mia's. He could picture her in a white dress, white flowers in her hand, walking down a rose-covered aisle. She would have that. He would give her that. It might have been a long time ago, but he hadn't forgotten his plans of standing at the end of a church aisle, waiting for his bride. The smile Mia sent him shored him up with that last bit of strength he needed as the music ended and the priest signaled the church to sit.
Who gives this woman to be wed?
Nick cleared his throat. This is it.
Her brothers and I do.
Stephen took a deep, steadying breath and stepped forward to receive the gift of Hannah. It was on the tip of his tongue to say one more time, hurt her and I'll kill you. But he took a deep breath himself and gave his baby sister away. The words were said, the rings were on. He'd watched a man kiss his sister in front of God and 200 people, and he was still breathing. Crazy that it had taken nearly 5 months of planning and preparing, and the actual act had taken barely an hour. The outside reception was in full swing. The giant tent, strewn with thousands of tiny lights, held a romantic glow. Candlelight flickered on tables and plants in huge pots, and ornamental trees twinkled, turning the scene into a nighttime wonderland. Waiters in bow ties offered heavy hors d'oeuvres on silver trays, tiny filet kebabs, crab-stuffed mushrooms, and some kind of cheese puff pastry. He'd told Hannah the sky was the limit, anything she wanted, and he'd meant it. He'd saved for this day a long time, and for a long time never thought it would happen. Overall, his sister had kept things pretty simple. On the food, though, he'd insisted she not hold back. Champagne flowed along